and worshiping with you all. I really enjoyed Brother Skinner's lesson.
Amen.
I really hate to have to follow him. The first time I ever heard his name, in fact, his reputation preceded him. A mutual friend asked me if I'd ever heard him. And I said, no, never heard the name even, you know. And he said, he can really preach. He said, he is an eloquent speaker, and he preaches the truth. And I found that to be true.
Amen.
I love Brother Skinner, and I love the preaching that he does. And I enjoyed the lesson. And he was, in his lesson, he was talking about David serving his generation. And I thought about a statement that David made a long time ago, and I've prayed this prayer many times myself. David said, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. And that's been my desire, is to try to show the mighty works of God. And I hope that now that I'm old and gray-headed, and Brother Skinner said he'd been saved 60 years, I believe, and I've been saved 70 years. And so I hope that I can still be of help to somebody along the way. I want you all to pray for me. I need your prayers. Okay, I'm ready. My lesson tonight is entitled, The Wiles of the Devil. Now, it's a different kind of a lesson to what Brother Skinner's was. And I hope the Lord will help me as I present this, that I can do it in the right way. I want to read three verses of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word. If you don't get anything out of what I've said, I hope you'll get something out of the lesson. The Bible presents a personality known as the devil. And his name means diabolical. And he's called this because of his evil nature. In fact, the devil is evil personified. One of his names is Satan. And that means the hater, the accuser, and your adversary. He's the enemy of God, and he's the adversary of God's people, and he opposes good and promotes evil. And we have to contend with him. And sometimes I think maybe we don't realize how involved the devil is in what's going on in this world. We all know about the conflict we have with him as Christians and the warfare that we are engaged in. But I think that He is far more reaching in the affairs of this world than we really realize. Jesus said concerning the devil, he said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. I want you to remember that statement. He abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. The scriptures identify him as the old serpent called the devil and Satan, and the one that deceiveth the whole world. The devil's not a nice person at all. And yet, he is called the God of this world. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine forth into their hearts. You would think that anyone who is as evil as the devil is, that he would not have very much influence. But he has a tremendous amount of influence upon the world. Three times in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls the devil the prince of this world. And so in our lesson tonight, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Now he's on the attack all the time. Sometimes I hear people say, the devil's been on my back. And I've heard said the devil sits on my shoulder and whispers in my ear. But I tell you where the devil gets. He gets in your mind. He don't ride around on your back. He gets in your mind. And he causes us to imagine all kinds of things. Sometimes we even might get the opinion that our best friend is doing us dirty, you know, or doing us wrong, you know. The devil, he likes to turn people against one another. So I just want you to know that the devil is actively involved in our lives, in our thinking even. You know, the Bible said the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And that's where the devil works with us, is in our mind and in our thinking. Now, my objective in this lesson tonight is to identify the devil and talk about how he became the devil and define the wiles of the devil. And I want to do this, as Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I guess I'll talk for next about the origin of the devil. He was not created an evil being. I have had people ask me a number of times, did God create the devil? No, he did not create the devil. He created a spiritual being who was a holy angel. The Bible teaches us that God created the angelic world before the world was created. That's what I understand, at least. The book of Job tells us about the sons of God that shouted for joy at the foundation, the laying of the foundation of the earth. Well, there were no human beings,
So evidently, it must have been the angelic world that God had created previously to creating this world. And we read in the Bible about Satan. Satan, as I said, was not created an evil being. He was a holy angel. Just as Adam was not created a sinner, the devil was not created evil. Both Adam and the devil were free moral agents or creatures. Adam chose, he made the choice to disobey God, and he became a transgressor of the law of God. And that's what sin is, the transgression of the law. He became a sinner as a result of his actions. And this holy angel that God had created, he led a conspiracy against God. He intended to overthrow God and sit on the throne as God. He made that deliberate choice, and he made the attempt, but he failed. And he was cast out of heaven and into the earth. So the devil, by his own free will and choice, became an evil being. Now that's my understanding. You may not agree with it. You don't have to. But that's what I believe the Bible to teach about the devil. He made himself the devil. And when he was cast out of heaven, the Bible said that he was cast into the earth. And this warning is given to us. He says that woe unto the inhabitants or the inhabitors of the earth. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath. I mean, he got angry. He was mad when God throwed him out of heaven. And he's been the devil ever since. He has been the enemy of God. Everything he does for the purpose of hurting God. Now, it hurts us too sometimes, the things that he does. But he robs God of honor and glory every time that he opposes God and has some a degree of success with it. I could go over to the book of Ezekiel. There's a passage of scripture over there. In the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, personally, I think it is somewhat of a metaphor. God is speaking through Ezekiel concerning the king of Tyre and Sidon. But the things that are said, that God said through the prophet Ezekiel, they go far beyond just the king and princes of the countries of Tyre and Sidon. And there are things said about the prince of Tyre that could not have been, in my opinion, directed at him, but rather directed at the devil. So anyway, he says that he was an anointed cherub. A cherub is an angelic creature. And he was an anointed cherub. He was full of beauty and wisdom. He had great beauty and wisdom. And he said, I will be his God. And I will sit in the seat of God. And the prophet tells us, and this is the word of the Lord, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. saying, and it tells us what God said. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 14, says that he was full of wisdom and beauty. And it says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until. There came a point in time when this angelic creature became evil. He was no longer perfect. So he says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And what was his iniquity? His iniquity was pride. The Bible actually says his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And he corrupted his wisdom by reason of his brightness. And the word of the Lord through Ezekiel was, because thine heart was lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible tells us about Lucifer, who was called the son of the morning. Isaiah's account, I believe this is having reference to the devil. And he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, God said. So, God did not create the devil. He created a holy angel that had the freedom of choice and the freedom of will. He enlisted, I think, a third of the angels to assist him in this war against God. And the Bible tells us about the fallen angels. They didn't have to go with him. There was two-thirds of them that did not go with him. But a third of them did. And they were cast out with him. And there is a place that the Bible tells us about that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That is, the ones that followed him in that great conspiracy. Now, because he was cast out, I've already said this, but woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath. Peter warns us about him too. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Peter gave us some admonition as well. Peter said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And we can resist Satan. I've been preaching that Satan can't make you do anything. And I still believe that. If you're a child of God, Satan cannot make you do anything. Now, he may influence you. He may try to persuade you to do wrong, but you don't have to do it. And the reason you don't have to do it is because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God will give us victory over Satan if we will resist steadfast in the faith. Now, it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said to them, but I fear lest by any means or by some means, And he'll try everything that he can to rob God. Now, God is his enemy. I'm telling you, he hates God. And the way he gets at God is by persuading, if I could say it like that, persuading God's created family, and I mean by the created family, the entire population of the world. Now, God has a born-again family, but God, the whole family of the earth, belongs to God because he created every one of us. And so he will try any means and every means to get us to disobey God and to get us to fail God in what he wants us to do. He said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, I told you he works on your mind, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And Paul, he told the church, he said, if any come preaching another Jesus, or whom ye have not received, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with them. You know, I think that in Paul's day, there were heretics just like they are now. Perhaps more of them. In fact, I think there are many more of them today than there was then. Paul wrote to Timothy about the perilous times that would come. And then he went on down and toward the end of the chapter, and he said, for evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Paul says, if anybody comes along and preaching something that sounds better than what I have told you, or if they try to demonstrate the Spirit of God in a greater measure than what you have seen it, or if they have some kind of better news, which the gospel is good news, he said you might bear with them. But I want to tell you tonight, there is no other Savior. Amen. No other Savior. There is no better Holy Spirit. There is none other Spirit but the Holy Spirit. And there is no gospel that is superior to the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now Paul went on and he said, for such are false apostles. You know, when people come along and they try to present something better than what Christ has offered to us, well, you can mark it down, they're false apostles and they're false teachers. They are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, in the realm of religion, the devil is at work. But you know, he's not the only one working. He has demon spirits that are at work in the world. You remember reading in the Bible about the man that had the unclean spirit? And the unclean spirit went out of him, walking through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. And the spirit said, I'm going to go back where I was. And he went back and he took seven other spirits more wicked than himself. You know, the devil, he has demon spirits that are working in his behalf and to promote his cause, and he works against us all of the time. Now, let me see where I'm at. So his goal is deception. That's what he is then to do, is to deceive people. You know, the Bible says in the language of Jesus, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But Satan, his object is to deceive, get you to believe a lie rather than the truth. And so he works, and he's the prince of darkness. But he transforms himself so he appears as an angel of light for the purpose of deceiving. He has ministers also that have diabolical schemes. Now we have to contend with some of that today. And what they have to say is almost like the truth. I hear people all the time talk about the televangelists, you know. I just love to hear them. They're just really good, you know. That they may not, you know, end it up like we would, but they're really good. Well, we need to learn how to identify false teachers.
Amen.
And we should, I don't think it's good for us to listen to them, tell you the truth. Now, let me see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that means we don't contend or battle physically where there is bloodshed. Now, that's what ISIS does. You know, they say, you know, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, if you will convert to Islam, we'll spare your life. And if not, we'll cut your head off. You see, we don't contend with that sort of thing. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul said, for though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are our weapons of warfare? Well, in my opinion, these are the main ones. Now, there may be some other weapons we could use as well. But I personally believe that one of the weapons of our warfare is the Word of God. It is quick. It is powerful. I tell you, the Word of God can get into places that nothing else can get to. And so the Word of God is one of our weapons. Prayer is one of our weapons. You know, the Bible tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is a prayer that is prayed in earnest with expectation of accomplishing something. You know, we may not be able to accomplish what we desire to see happen, but God can. So we preach the Word of God, we pray, and we have faith. You know, faith, according to the Bible, if we don't have faith, then Paul said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Jesus said, if you have faith, he said, you can ask what you will. And he said, my Father will do it for you. So it's important we have faith. And then Another weapon that I believe is really powerful and significant in the work of the Lord, and that is the testimony of your salvation.
Amen.
There's not a thing in the world anybody can do with your testimony. They may say, I don't believe it, but they sure can't change it, can they? And I believe that it is powerful, and I believe God uses that in a great way in the work of the Lord. Now, there are some other areas that I want to cover. And where Satan is actively involved. I said I wanted to preach about the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles comes from the Greek word methodia. And our word methods come from that word. And it refers to the devious and cunning strategies or schemes employed by the devil to lure, entice, manipulate, trick, and persuade. That's the wiles of the devil. The ways and means that the devil uses in his devilish ways. The devil wasted no time. He got kicked out of heaven and into the earth. And God created the heavens and the earth. And I don't know how all that happened. I don't know where he was between the time that he was kicked out and the time the foundation of the earth was laid. I don't know. And I just don't know. It might have been after he created the angelic world. He might have created the earth and then he got kicked out. Could be. I don't know. But anyway, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says that God created man in his likeness and in his image. And right away, almost instantly, the devil showed up. And I don't know how much time lapse there was in there. I don't know how long Adam lived without sinning, but I believe he lived a period of time. I don't know how long. But the devil, he wanted to get back at God. Remember, he's angry at God. And so God had told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you're going to die. And so the devil approached Eve, and he was subtle, crafty, deceitful. His objective was to deceive her, and he did. The Bible says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. He deceived her. He said to her, "Why, you won't surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened and you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil." He said, in effect, to Eve, God's lying to you. All you've known is good. Your eyes, if you eat, your eyes will be opened and you'll know evil also. And she looked at the tree and she saw it was good for food. And it was pretty to look at. And so she partook. And so the devil deceived the woman. And then she gave to her husband and he ate. And their eyes were opened all right. They surely were. But the point I started to make, and I kind of got led astray there. But the devil attacked the first family that ever lived on this earth. And he had a degree of success too, didn't he? He deceived the woman. Now, the devil's still trying to destroy the family. I'm talking about the wiles of the devil now. Y'all stay with me. He's still trying to destroy the family. Because God instituted marriage And God created the first family. He brought the man and the woman together. And he told them, you be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so I believe that marriage is sacred. I believe that, you know, when you get married, I told them this over at New Bethel the other day. Mabel and I got married over there. And I had a best man, and she had a maid of honor. And I had a groomsman, and she had a bridesmaid. And we had a preacher, and we had a ring bearer. And then she and I, that was our wedding party. But there was another person that was involved in that wedding. You know who he was? God. You read in the third chapter of the book of Malachi about God being witness of the covenant made between a man and a woman. God's part of the wedding party. It's a sacred institution. A real marriage, and the only thing that is a marriage, is the joining together of a man and a woman.
Amen.
See, the devil, he's tried everything to destroy the family. There's a reason for that. God loves the human family. He had a desire to the work of his hands. He wants man, even though he transgressed against God. God provided a way for him to be saved. And that cost God a great deal. Don't cost us anything, but it cost God his only begotten Son. And so God wants to save us. And the devil wants to destroy us. So, anyway, the family. He got right in there in the first family. He's still in families today. He's still trying to break up homes. You know, the devil, if he can get a home broke up, get the father and the mother to divorce and to leave each other, and to leave their children with a one-parent home, he'll do it. He'll do it. Did you know that statistics tell us that the kids that have the worst behavioral problems are from a one-parent home? The kids that get into trouble, juvenile delinquency, it is the most of them is from one-parent home. Now, I know there are a lot of one-parent, there are a lot of parents that raise their children by themselves and they do well. But there are more of them that don't do well. So, anyway, if he can use divorce to tear up a family and to get to the kids, get them on drugs, get them in a gang, any way that he can, the devil's going to try to do it. Now, these are the wiles of the devil that I'm talking about tonight. Then the devil came up with a bigger and more wicked scheme. You all just live together. Don't get married at all. Just commit fornication as long as you want to, until you get tired of each other, and then just go your separate ways, no strings attached. You see, that's the devil's scheme, folks. Marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators and whoremongers, God will judge. That's what the Bible says. So he said, just live together. But you know, the byproduct of that is, of that kind of an arrangement, is illegitimate children. unauthorized, and unsanctioned. We still love our kids, don't we? No matter what the circumstances are that they're born, and we ought to. And we ought to try to get them saved. But we ought to realize, too, that first comes love, and then comes marriage, and then comes Susie with a baby carriage. See, there's an order to God's way of doing things. Another of the devil's deceptions is to brainwash people. Make them think that somehow God fouled up and put a male nature in a female body. Or maybe put a female nature in a male body. Now, God didn't make mistakes.
Amen.
God don't make no mistakes. I want to ask you all, when we are tempted to do something that is forbidden by God, what are we supposed to do about it? We're not supposed to encourage it. We're not supposed to sanction it. But we are to mortify that lust. Put it to death. That's what the Bible teaches. You put it to death. Now, we have a large culture now in the world that has emerged from this idea that somehow God made a mistake in creating us. God does not tempt anybody with evil. He does not. That's in the book of James. You didn't turn that light off on me. I'm sorry. Can I finish up? I'll hurry. All right. Another diabolical scheme of the devil is same-sex marriage. Now, Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." And from my research of those words, I believe it's having reference to the power of magistrates or government-enforced laws or rule. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that either. But the devil has enough people in governments today that it doesn't make any difference what God says. It doesn't make any difference what the majority of the people say. An executive order can make what God calls an abomination the law of the land. That's one of the wiles of the devil. We wrestle, we contend with the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's no accident that atheists have infiltrated our educational system to where that you can't even suggest that the Bible account of the creation is the truth. You can't do it. You see, the devil is behind this.
Amen.
He is poisoning the minds of people.
Amen.
He wants you to believe that the Bible is not true, that, you know, God didn't create the universe. It just, boom, it happened. He don't want you to believe that in the sanctity of marriage. He don't want you to believe in heaven or hell or accountability to God. You can't even talk about it in school. The first place it needs to be talked about is in the home. And that needs to be reinforced by your pastor.
Amen.
That's how we can help our people, is teaching them what's right and what's wrong. And so you can't teach Christian doctrines or principles even as a possibility. But it's important that you study other religions. Huh? That's a devil scheme. Laws are in place, upheld by judges, to prohibit teachers from, or students from, reading the scriptures or even saying the generic prayer. We're told that there are no absolutes, that circumstances, you know, dictate what's right and wrong. You can adjust truth. It's relevant, you know. You can adjust it. If you do something wrong, you can get out of it by lying. It's all right. Go ahead. I don't believe that. And I hope you don't believe it. I'm going to skip on down. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Many so-called churches are endorsing the above-mentioned evils and abominations. Even churches that have been known as mainline churches. But I want to tell you, the church that Jesus established, it is the highest, it is the most exalted spiritual institution in the world. Amen. And the foundation of the true church is Jesus. Amen. And the truth is its creed. The truth is the creed. In fact, the Bible said the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Even among missionary Baptist churches, the devil has convinced some of our people that marriage is an option. Now, I'm not saying this to try to hurt anybody. I'm just wanting to show you how the devil is working. Living in a sinful relationship has become acceptable. No shame. I remember when I was a kid, you didn't hardly ever even hear of a divorce. Amen. People were ashamed. And not anymore. That's right. If you're married and you're not happy, get a divorce. Instant happiness. I could preach on that for a half an hour. Many think there's nothing wrong with the gay lifestyle. After all, it's been sanctioned by the law. But God said, listen, woe unto them that call good evil and call evil good. I think that a lot of people, a lot of missionary Baptist people, are failing their children and their grandchildren. They don't take them to church. You know, there's everything in the world to distract people, you know, get their attention. But there's nothing more important than bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you want them to go to heaven, you better pay some special attention to that.
Amen.
Because they get over here in school and they say, you know, why? God didn't create you, and you are not going to have to give an account to God. You just do whatever you want to. It's all right. No, we don't want our children to believe that foolishness. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand all these attacks from the devil. I'm sorry I went over, brethren, but I wasn't paying no attention to that clock. I want you all to pray for me. I need your prayers. Brother Miller.